chains, I'm watching all the honeybees.
Hey up, Jane.
Hey up, Esther. How are you? A long time no Zoom.
No, I know. It's so exciting as well. We've got our honey tasting today. Have you got... I noticed when you sent me a photograph of yours, you'd already opened your box. Are you sure you've not tasted it yet?
I've not. The seals are still on there. It's been very tempting. They've been sat in front of me and I've been waiting. So can you just tell me a little bit about these honeys, please, Esther?
Well, I'm going to quickly open the box because I've not even opened the box yet. So, oh, it's a very nice box and I'm opening it. And, oh, what have we got?
Can you just tell me about where they come from, what company they come from, Esther?
So they come from the London Honey Company, which is a very lovely artisan company owned by Steve Benbow, who is one of the sort of first... you know, urban beekeepers in London who started the trend of keeping bees on rooftops and in urban areas. He started off in Bermondsey and he was the first person I ever went on a beekeeping course before I trained with urban bees. And he was very good and he told us lots of interesting things about his grandparents were beekeepers or his grandmother was a beekeeper. And he really got me inspired to become a beekeeper and take it further. And also, he was the one that, when I was on his course, I got stung on the you-know-what.
Oh, right. OK. So you were well and truly Bemboed.
Yes, I really was. Yes. And he wrote a book and he actually mentioned me and the actual happening in his book.
Oh, did he?
I was very flattered, yes.
Lovely.
So I'm tasting the Cotswolds one. Oh, yeah.
You like that?
I do like that.
This is the one that looks like lard.
Yes, that's right.
Now, are you using a spoon to get in there or are you using a dirty knife?
Well, actually, I'm using a spoon. I normally would use my fingers, but last night Jeannie put stop and grow on my fingernails, so I can't lick my fingers.
I'm not so keen on that one. It's a bit too perfumed for me.
I'm just wondering what that one is. It seems to me like it could be a rapeseed honey. It's
hedgerows. Yeah,
hedgerows. Yeah, well, I don't know. It could be hedgerows. The rolling hills and hedgerows of the Cotswolds. If it's hedgerows, it could be at the side of, like, rapeseed fields. That's what I think it tastes like, rapeseed honey. But, you know, it's got a very distinguished flavour.
When I'm smelling it now.
Yeah.
It just smells very perfumed, a bit like soap.
Maybe it's melted soap in a jar.
I think it is. That's not my favourite.
I wonder if you could imagine, like, the bees would trade their honeys with each other, you know, if they drove on little buses and sort of traded it. That would be what they'd wash their faces with, wouldn't it?
I think when I think of the Cotswolds, I think of sort of those picture postcard cottages, thatched cottages, and sort of a very sort of clean, sort of Middle England, sort of protected sort of environment. When I smell this, it smells a bit like that, like old lady's soap.
Oh, well, that's it. You don't like that one then, do you, much?
Sorry, Cotswolds.
Show it. We've just lost all our Cotswold listeners now. They've just switched off.
The old lady soap people.
Do you want to take it all back? We'll go on to the next one, the Scottish one.
Ooh,
the next.
Oh, you're rushing me. Oh, that's yum. This is good.
That is nice.
My son at one point, Dylan, used to wear ear defenders because he said I ate so loud. So this is the worst thing for me to do now. to eat on a microphone, and he won't be listening for a start.
I know. Well, my daughter wears ear defenders as well, and I don't think she'll be listening. She always puts them on at mealtime. Right then, are we going on to Kent now?
Let's go on to Kent.
Yeah. Let's think about Kent.
It says from Unique Shingle Coast.
That could be like round Dungeness and you know, Deal and places like that.
Mm. Well, I like Deal. And I do like Kent.
Well, I'm married to a Kent man, so
you are. Let me taste this.
I like that.
To me it's a bit bog standard.
Is it?
A bit supermarket like.
Okay. So it's definitely not the Kent one for you, is it? Or the Cotswolds. Shall we try Essex?
Let's try Essex.
Let's try Essex.
Okay. Going in.
I like the clearness of it, I do.
Yes, that's it. It's a very, very pale colour. And what's this again? What's the flower? From the farm meadows and flowers.
That makes me think like it's... Well, it's very clear. Borage, I think, is very clear. So it could be a lot of borage. Nice.
Again, a bit soapy.
Delicate, I'd say.
More of a delicate soap.
You like the Scottish Heather one best, don't you?
And that's by far the winner for me.
I think I'm going to go for the Kent one.
Oh, you've been faithful and loyal to your husband.
Oh, I'm going to spread it on my Dunn's bread, my white Dunn's bread. I'm making a little sort of quarter-size sort of teddy bear's sandwich with white bread. I bet you've got healthy bread, haven't you?
I've got sourdough.
Oh, you'd need a very robust honey on that sourdough, really.
Would I?
Yeah, because it's got a lot of flavour, sourdough, hasn't it?
I think that Scottish is wonderful. But I just love the colour of it and the texture. When I tasted your honey at the tea party in episode 10, you know how greedy I was with that. With my big dessert spoon. That was fantastic, honey. And I could have eaten the whole of the frame of that.
Well, I agree.
That was a crunchy bit.
Yeah, I think you've got the right honey for your sourdough bread.
Right.
I mean, when you think about... I'm just going to stop eating now and just drink my tea.
I'll have a slab of tea too.
But, you know, when you think about when you're up on, you know, any sort of heather moor, you know, and you look at the heather, it's so robust, isn't it? Like you said about the honey. And it's got like a woody, you know, it's sort of woody, the heather is. So it's going to be absolutely full of like a very strong, rich flavour, isn't it? You know, it's so full, the pollen, it's so full, it's a lot of pollen on the heather that the bees collect. And pollen is full of protein, so it's a very rich and delicious honey.
Yeah, I'm smelling them again.
You'll never get COVID with this Scottish heather honey.
Real good.
Yeah, really good.
I think I'm just smelling your Kent as well as the other ones, and I think you've gone for a good choice there. It smells good as Kent.
Yeah, it does. Smells quite sort of... like a traditional honey, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think Essex and Cotswold, for me, are just a bit wishy-washy.
Well, we'll say that to Steve Bembo when we go to his shop. We'll tell him.
A wishy-washy honey.
We'll say to him, Steve, did you add soap to this? And he'll probably chuck us out the shop.
But you could describe it. These are the more wishy-washy honeys.
Yeah. Well, when I went to his shop last time, he gave me some very nice African honey to taste, and it was so rich and lovely. You know, it was a real wild, complex honey, just completely different to anything I'd ever tasted before. It was delicious. I was going to say, have you been getting on with your show? Because we missed you last week.
Oh, so missed you. Yeah, I've been loving it, actually.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's called Bloods, and it's about paramedics. It's a comedy series about paramedics.
Yeah.
And paramedics all work in pairs, so we're all in pairs, and I'm working with Samson Kale, and we play Wendy and Malik. And guess what, S?
What?
I based Wendy on you.
Oh, not again.
Exactly. I keep dragging you out. And I so like playing you, S. And actually, people are nicer to me when I'm you rather than when I'm me.
Oh, that's so nice, isn't it?
Yes. It's a distinct change in people.
How am I getting on? I mean, what's my character like in this? Or how are you?
Your character's from Nottingham. Mm-hmm. And she's come down from Nottingham to work. She's escaped from her family. And she's now working for the South London paramedics. But she's actually, you know, she knows her stuff. She's a really nice person. And she's lovely. But she kind of... She tries to get the best out of people, but sometimes while she's trying to get the best out of people, situations go a little bit wrong.
Oh, well, I can identify to that, so it certainly does sound like me. But does she, if things go a bit wrong, does she cry?
No, she's not a crier. I know, because you like a cry, don't you? Sorry, but I don't find crying very easy because I'm a bit harder than you, S. So I don't do crying, but she's very good-hearted, you know, and always sees the best in people, always sees the best in people.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, she's just and like you, S.
Oh, thank you. That is so nice. Mm. And are you having a lot of laughs?
Yeah, it's really good fun. And me and Samson Kale, because I am a corpser, and as you know, and so, yeah. Well, you are as well. You're terrible. And for the audience who are listening who don't know what corpsing means, it means laughing on stage or on screen and when you're not supposed to. And so me and Samson are terrible, and I've got to really, really give myself a talking to, because potentially I could be laughing in every scene with him. So I have to make sure don't go down the laughing road. But I have. In fact, the first scene that we did together, I was laughing.
Were you?
Mm, yeah.
Did you have to do it again, or did you just incorporate the laughing?
Well, I did say to the director afterwards, I said, I think this character would laugh like this.
Oh, dear, that's not good.
Mm.
I think most actors who are sort of, you know, like funny things, like funny parts and stuff, they're all corpse, don't they? I think they do.
I loved it when I came to see you in a play and you laughed when you came out and you heard me laughing in the audience and that made you laugh.
Oh, God.
And that one you did in Cornwall, you couldn't stop laughing. I love that. You sent me a video of you corpsing. It's the funniest thing ever. Now I enjoy corpsing now, and I don't care as much as I used to do.
I think when you're on the edge of corpsing, you're usually doing, like, your finest acting, because you're sort of, like, you're so free that you're really responding to everything, and you just then you start laughing. Oh, God, I don't know. I think it's just better to stick to the funny parts if you're a corpser, because at least you can incorporate it with the characters usually.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, that is good.
It sounds like you're having a good time.
Oh, yeah, I'm having a great time. A really, really good time. Anyway, just going back to the honey, yeah. I just wanted to... We did touch on it a little bit. You were talking about Manuka honey and its medicinal properties. Can mm-hmm. you tell me what honey is good for?
Yeah, well, honey's been used even, like, by the Stone Age people, like, 8,000 years ago. They were using honey for antibacterial, antifungal purposes. So do you remember, like, when we opened the hive, the bees, like, coat everything in propolis, and it's like a, you know, it's an a natural antibacterial thing that they do just to keep their whole hive clean.
Oh, amazing.
So those properties are in the honey. And things like the heather honey, for instance, or the Manuka honey, those sort of honeys have got so much antibacterial and antifungal qualities that you can actually use it on wounds, open wounds. And I know they use Manuka honey on horses. But I was talking to Arabella about that last week. But, yeah, so it's got the antibacterial and antifungal properties, and that's why it's good for when you've got a sore throat mm-hmm. and when you've got, you know, like tonsillitis. They say, you know, it's very good to have a spoonful of honey when you've got coughs and colds. I mean, now they're recommending that that's the sort of thing you do rather than taking antibiotics.
Oh, really? And so just, because you mentioned the Manuka honey and the heather honey, but they're the better honeys to take if you are feeling a bit off colour.
I think all honeys have got antibacterial and antifungal properties. Because, of course, the bees need to use that in their own hive. But I think, as far as I know, the heather honey has got a bit more of that in. It's got more antibacterial qualities in. And I think that's something to do with the heather itself. So it's got more in the plant. You know, a bit like the Manuka honey. Mm. The Manuka is the tea tree plant, which is the Manuka honey comes from. Oh. That's got its own antibacterial qualities in. So I guess the more the plant has got those qualities in, then obviously that affects the honey.
In my programme that I'm making, Bloods, I've been telling everybody about bees, and actually one of the guys on the camera department, he's from a farm, and they've got, the farmer there has lots and lots of hives, many, many hives.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
says that they have to be careful when he's driving the tractor because the bees attack when he's driving the tractor. Is that just because they feel threatened?
Well, he's obviously got, you know, the strain of bees he's got is probably a bit aggressive. But yeah, they will chase people around who've got lawnmowers and strimmers. But again, it depends what sort of bees you've got. Remember, I think we talked about this previously, like the Buckfast queens, for instance, after about, if they keep requeening themselves from that queen, eventually it could start to get more of an aggressive strain. And so maybe if they haven't, like, got fresh new queens, they haven't sent off for a new queen from fresh genes, they might just be using the same genes over and over, and in the end they can become a bit aggressive, and that's probably why they chase the tractor.
Oh, really?
I've had bees before. I mean, I never let it get like this now. I've had bees before that have chased me off the allotment. Ooh. I've literally run down the path.
Right.
I've been planting my potatoes and I've got stung on the head. But I never, that was when in my early days of beekeeping, and I didn't know that I could just, you know, get a new queen, send off for a new queen. I just didn't realise, but that's what you have to do.
That's just them being aggressive. But they die, don't they, when they sting you?
Yeah, they do.
So that's funny, isn't it, when you weren't particularly threatening the hive, that they would just come randomly and sting you?
Well, you know, it's like the tractor. It's probably in a stone's throw of the hives, but they have to go around on the tractor, and they're just guarding their area.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, as the Buckfasts as well, sometimes they'll just sort of hang around guarding the hive. That's their favourite thing to do, rather than maybe getting out and collecting as much forage. They do like hanging out and guarding.
Yes,
so,
yes,
you know,
the guard. Yes,
yeah.
And how are your bees at the moment?
Yeah, so I went up the other day because I don't know whether I told you, but I decided to get these cork shins, they're called, just to give a bit of extra warmth over the winter around the hive. So you put them around the hive and you put them inside the hive at each end of the box, the brood box. Anyway,
can you just describe those? Are they a bit like stoppers?
They're a bit like, you know, if you were to lift up the frame of brood, instead of that, instead of all the wax and the brood, there's just cork with beeswax coated on it. This company, they recommend that if you put them either end of the brood box, then you'll give them like a bit of extra insulation for the winter.
Oh, good.
So a couple of weeks ago, I thought, I've never done this before. I thought, I'm going to put these shins in. So I put them in. Anyway, I went yesterday to have a check on them and I just needed to take some feed off. I'd been still feeding them with sugar because, you know, they didn't make as much honey as what I'd hoped that they had done over the summer. And so I had to feed them up with some sugar. But I'll get back to that in a minute. So I took the sugar feed bucket off and then I just thought, well, just have a look at these shins. Anyway, the bees had like eaten all the beeswax off and made holes in them. They rejected it. They'd like...
How would they make holes in it?
Well, they just nibbled the way through it.
Oh, wow.
So I was a bit disappointed, to be honest.
Have you taken it out?
No, I've left it, but they've cleared off all the wax off it. And it was just, I thought, what a pointless thing that I spent my money on. So I was a bit disappointed with that. But
maybe it was too hot because it's a very mild winter so far, isn't it? maybe they were boiling.
Yeah, maybe they were making ventilation holes.
Yes, could be.
It could be, yeah. Mm. So, they've not made a lot of honey for themselves.
So you're going to have to supplement then through the winter?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to feed them some fondant. I spoke to a bee inspector guy and he said there's been a lot of reports in London of bees not collecting the right amount of honey. Some have, some haven't. But one of the things is that, you know, because it was very, very windy over the summer on and off, if you remember.
Yes.
And so when the lime flowers came on, was it too windy for the bees to get to the lime? So normally they would have absolutely filled it with lime honey. And they did fill it, but they also didn't fill it quite enough. And although I didn't take any honey off at all this year, as you know, only the teaspoons that you tried, they just haven't filled the box up. So, yeah, they will need to be fed over the winter and I'm going to have to keep a close eye on them. I just hope they make it through. I'll have to give them some honey sandwiches otherwise.
Oh, yeah, give them the Scottish and the Kent.
Well, we can't feed this honey to them because we don't know whether these bees have got EFB or whether they've got any other. So we've got to be careful.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And there's some other questions I want to ask you.
Oh, questions.
Questions which have come up with my spreading the word through my job. One was, well, we were talking about royal jelly.
Yeah.
And how royal jelly was made and what and why that is good for you.
Well, royal jelly is a product that the workers feed to the little baby larva. And it's rich again in all sorts of things that the bees make themselves with these enzymes that they add to the nectar and the pollen. And it's, you know, full of vitamins and nutrients from the nectar of the flowers. And they feed that to the bees right at the beginning of their life. As soon as they hatch out of the eggs, they have about 3 days on pure royal jelly. And that makes them grow a little bit fatter and then they're big enough to start then feeding them on the pollen. But the queen, she has that for about 6 days. So she's fed on it a bit longer so she can develop a much fatter body and a much bigger body and her reproductive organs will develop. So, you know, it's really good. And I suppose, I mean, I'm not, you know, a herbalist or a person who makes, you know, pills for the chemist. but I reckon if you were a person and you fed yourself on royal jelly, you're going to feel pretty strong and, you know, robust, I guess.
Is it a bit like breast milk?
I think it is, yeah. It's a bit like gold top breast milk.
Yeah, but it must be, mustn't it, when they say feed your baby's breast milk, because that's full of all the nutrients that the baby needs.
Yeah, I suppose it's like, you know, when you breastfeed at the first, when the breast milk comes out first, and you get that colostrum, don't you?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's what the bees are doing to the little larva. They're giving them the colostrum.
Right, so that's good.
Oh, yeah, maybe, you see, if people started marketing colostrum pills, maybe we could all, well, you know, maybe that would be good for people, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because they're such amazing things, aren't they, bees? You know, like you were saying about the propolis, you know, disinfecting their environment, which is kind of what we're trying to do at the moment in COVID, you know, to keep everything as sanitised as possible, and they just do it naturally. They just keep their home naturally clean like that. That's, you know, we could learn so much from bees, how they do something in a natural way.
We could just, if we coated our whole house with propolis.
Yeah.
Just imagine that.
Have you propolised instead of have you sanitised? Have you propolised?
Yeah. Have you propolised today, Jane? Are you going to go back and tell your friends on blood all about the things that you've talked about today?
Yes, definitely. I want to get Samson on the show because I tell him about bees and he finds it really, really boring.
Does he?
Yeah. So I want him to come on the show and see if he isn't bored by you talking about bees, because when I talk about bees, he wants to fall asleep. But I think he'd be much better with you.
Well, I mean, you're pretending to be me, so he'd perhaps be bored with me as well.
Well, yeah, see, I'm doing it your voice when I'm telling him about it, but he finds it very soporific, like a bedtime story, and then just wants to go to sleep.
Can you try and do my voice now?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay, then.
It's a version of your voice.
Well, I can't wait to see it. It'll be brilliant.
You've heard it anyway. I've done a play where I've played you.
I know, you're very good. You are good. You are brilliant.
But it's an essence of Esther.
Yeah.
Esther's essence, I'm playing.
Oh, well. You could bottle that, you see, sell it. It would be worth a million.
It would. Oh, can we have some of Esther's essence, please? Will that make us nicer people? You could be Saint Esther selling your Esther essence. Then they might see you in a potato, like we saw Bono in The Hive.
Yeah.
Saint Esther in a spud.
Just say I was very sad that I didn't get my own honey this year, so this is a real treat having these little jars of honey, but hopefully next spring we'll get some nice honey and it'll be good, because the one thing that is so much fun is extracting the honey. And I was remembering the first time that me and Tom did it in the kitchen, and a few bees must have still come back on the honeycomb. So as we lifted it on the wheelbarrow and we brought it back to home, and then before we knew it, we looked and there was bees all over the kitchen window.
Oh.
Because we chucked the bees that were in the honey box, the super, we'd put them out on the garden, but they'd obviously gone back to the hive, told all their sisters to quickly come to where we live, and all the bees were like at the window trying to get in.
Give us back our honey. Please, we want our honey. You've taken our food.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And my friend, he experienced the same thing. And they'll come back and they'll find the honey and they'll try and get it.
Well, you have taken it from them. You've stolen it, haven't you? It is theirs.
I know, they must be so mad.
Yes, when they've spent all that time making their fodder for the winter, and then you come and just take it.
Yeah, I know, it's really bad. So you just have to be very careful. Now, I've never done it like that again, but now I make sure that I brush all the bees off very gently, off all the frames, and then I wrap it up in a sheet and then bring it back and just make sure there's no bees on it, because if there is, you'll have the whole hive at your window.
Well, even though you didn't get your jars of honey this year, we did have that lovely afternoon where we did have the tasting. That was really special.
It was nice. It was good.
And I still remember the taste of that honey. It was a special one.
Yeah, it was actually... I think it was nicer than any of these honeys, although I have enjoyed them all. But I do love the London honey best, I think.
Yeah, it was really good.
Thanks for today and all this lovely honey tasting, and we've had a nice little chat, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been great and learned lots of new things as well.
So nice to be with you.
And you too, Essie.
Have a lovely week at work, and I can't wait to see you soon, my darling.
I know. Thank you so much, Essie, and thanks so much for this info, which I will report back to my team. Yeah. And if not Samson, everybody else will be waiting with bated breath. So thank you, and I love you very much.
I love you too, my darling. You take care.
Yeah, you too, Essie.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. And I'll call you up
whenever I'm feeling down. Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard and partly recorded at the Hives on my allotment near Crouch End in London. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy Mae Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from the Hive. Queen Bees is a Hattrick podcast.